last week I jumped in and just told you that this year I feel the theme and that we need to really drill down and be focused on that it's the year of God's goodness. We need to declare God's goodness, display God's goodness, and express God's goodness. And we understand that when Moses, he wanted to see God's face. He wanted to, and God said, listen, no man can see my face and live. But listen, I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock. And I'll bring what I think you need to see of me. And when he does, Exodus 33:19 says, then the Lord replied, I will make my goodness pass by before you. And that's what he did. He brought the goodness of God right, but his goodness. Now, of everything he could display of God's, of his nature and his character, he said, I want Moses to see my goodness. Because if you see his goodness, it kind of changes your lenses of how you see him. And then it goes on here where Paul calls himself the sinner of sinners. He calls himself a real bad guy after what he had done and stuff. And he writes to the Romans, says, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The word repentance, or religion has made it such a gruesome word, but it's not. It's a great word. It's called metanoia. Metanoia is now, I'm going to change my mind. When you see his goodness, it changes your mind. And it's so important that we see that. And so, if we do not know his goodness, and we don't see his goodness, or we don't believe his goodness, we're going to find ourselves deficient in our faith. Because there is a good God that is cheering us on, that's walking with us, that wants to be involved in our lives. But if we have a wrong concept of him or a wrong understanding of him, we do not walk our full faith out correctly. We're deficient of it. Because Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so we walk around having this idea of understanding that. That's quite a crazy picture that you got there, Valerie. Valerie? I mean, you put it all together in one shot. Wow. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Put that on your head. So if we haven't seen or heard or learned of his goodness, we need to reconsider it. We need to revisit it. And we need to repent. Change our mind, because he is good. How do we do that? We change our glasses. Guys always say, if you've got yellow glasses on, everything you see is going to be yellow. When I saw Mike Falbaugh this morning, he had these crazy glasses all over his glasses. And I said, fancy glasses you got there. He says, oh, I forgot to take them off. I don't know why he was wearing them. But everything you see comes through those glasses. So we have to change our glasses so we can see his goodness and believe his goodness and live in his goodness. Because you won't receive anything of it unless you believe it. You've got to allow that goodness to come. How many of you have been told about a person and it's not a great picture they paint? And then suddenly you meet the person and they say, he's not that bad after all. I mean, he's actually fantastic. He's actually good. And that's what happens, and that's what we've got to try and do to people that have this understanding and say, God is this and God's that. But no, he's not. He is super precious. He's super wonderful. So metanoia is coming and hearing the truth, and the truth will change your mind. Because that's what Romans 10:17 says. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You've seen that illustration of dirty water, and how do you get it clean? You just pour continually clean water in it. So as you hang around people that just declare his goodness, speak of his goodness, walk in his goodness, express his goodness. I mean, today we sang about the goodness, the miracles that we've heard and we've seen. It flushes over us and it changes our eyesight, changes our behavior. And faith in God's goodness comes by hearing and hearing about his goodness. And so that's what we want to do this year. And so if you heard God is distant and he's stern and he's quick to discipline and he's not gracious and he's not loving and he's merciful sometimes and not sometimes, and he's not slow to anger, I want you to recalibrate that. I need you to reconsider that. I need you to repent. Because this year, we want to lean in with everything we have into God's goodness. So we can declare his goodness, we can display his goodness, and we can deliver his goodness. We have this incredible opportunity to be the vessels. I always say something D. Harris always taught about sister. We are the vessels through which divine favor flows, preventing misfortune in the lives of others. We are the vessels through which God's goodness can flow. And so we need to look at every opportunity and say, am I displaying God's goodness? Am I declaring his goodness? am I delivering God's goodness? Because if you do, I tell you, you're in that sweet place because you've got the whole of heaven backing you, because He really wants you to be the best billboard for Him all the time. So we want to be that vessel. And then I went on to talk about first things first last week. And the principle of first is laced all the way through Scripture. And so we want to understand and realize that the whole of creation announces that He's first. It announces that that He's first. We may not agree with it. We may not want it. But He is first. And we need to understand that. And the great thing with being in Jesus is that we have the relationship with this awesome God that is first. Absolutely. The word they use is preeminence. What's preeminence means? He's first of all. He's above all. And He's first of all. So, I mean, you may not like it, but it is. And it's wonderful to understand it. And so through Jesus, we have this access to this preeminent God, this God that is number one. We have access to Him through Jesus. It's like the president's son giving us access to the Oval Office. Have you ever seen the picture of President Kennedy working at the Oval desk and his son sitting and playing toys underneath the desk of the Oval Office? Jesus is the one that allows us to come into the Oval Office, to the senior position and the senior place in all of the universe. And that is so wonderful. And so here, all of creation acknowledges and declares that He's first. And we need to understand that. And so if you don't, Philippians 2:10 says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's something that it will not be demanded by a stick, but you walk into the presence of Almighty God, who is first and above, and it has preeminence, your knee will bow. If you do not have two brain cells between your ears, there'll be some brain cells in your knees that will bow you before Almighty God before you get mute. Okay? It's just that's the fact. Like Rod Palmer is the senior pastor of Coastal. He's the lead elder of Coastal Church. Some people don't like that. Some people don't agree on that. Some people don't want that. Guess what? Suck up the fact. I am the senior pastor. And it's the same thing with God being first. That's the fact. And if we don't, if we understand that, we need to understand that it needs to recalibrate, refocus, realign, reorientate our lives, our behavior and our priorities. You can't just be flippant with God because He's just awesome, first place in all of the universe. And it's His way, not our way. And when we have a look at that. I also went on to speak about how He's given us everything. And in His relationship with us, there is something that He requires us to bring back. Of everything He's given us, He requires us to bring something back. He's given us time and talent. And that we turn into treasure. And He says, okay, my time and my talent that I've placed in you. And if you think that you are a self-made man or a self-made woman, who put the air in your lungs? Who makes the molecules work? Who makes your blood flow? Who does all those things? I tell you, he can just say stop and it'll stop. And guess what? Dust to dust, ashes to ashes for you. So don't think that you are anything anywhere, because it is Him that sustains us, holds us, and gives us life. So it just kind of just wants us to be there. And so when He says, listen, I have a relationship. I've given you everything. The only thing, I don't need the 100%. Even the 100% is mine. I just need 10%. And I spoke about tithes and bringing the tithe, that portion, bringing it, because He says the tithe is mine. So you don't come and say, oh, give me my tithe. No, you just bought back with God what you owe God. So that's kind of, and you, when you do this, what you're doing is you're giving acknowledgement, God, you first. When you do this, when you come in and worship first part of your week, what are you doing? You're acknowledging He's first. You're honoring God. You're bringing it as worship. It's part of our worship that we bring it first to God. It takes faith. I come and bring my portion of my income and I bring it. Will the 90% last? In most days and today's economy and everything, the expenses and stuff, man, I need God on board to help me with the 90%, because I know I cannot make it on 100%. So I just kind of lean on God. And so it also displays trust. Trust is a word that God's given Maria for this year, to trust God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the Lord our God. Trust. And then obviously, it displays obedience. When we bring what he asks us, and he says, bring it to our storehouse, into the place of worship. And that's what we spoke about. And I'm just kind of throwing that out because if you didn't get to, go to our podcast and you can pick it up there. And then Cain was just, how come God received Abel's offering and not Cain? I spoke about it last year. Because Cain, it says in the process of time, when he felt like it and what he felt like, he kind of ought to God. I want to, just before I transition, and what I really want to speak about this today, is that God does not take seconds, he doesn't take leftovers, and he's not an afterthought. If he is not first and prioritized in our world, we bear the consequences. He's not ordering it, demanding it. Creation tells you, put him first and allow it, because everything comes into order. If we put him in that right place, in our compass of our life, things start happening. And we kind of get into this busyness of life and we forget. So this week I want to continue to talk about first, things first. And I want to talk about priorities. So important to have priorities. Do we have priorities in our lives? Better still, have we asked God, what must our priorities be? If he's first, God, what must be first? And so, some have no priorities because they're going nowhere. It doesn't take much to put priorities together if you're going nowhere. Some are going nowhere because they haven't put priorities in place. They're kind of, any road will do. I'm going that way. All roads will do. And so, some have wrong priorities. Some have faulty priorities. One of the things I just want to throw out there is, so yeah, these are the priorities. God is first, my spouse second, my children third, and work next, and then church, and however you want to list it. Wrong. Wrong. Always heard that. Give me a scripture and verse. I don't see scripture and verse for that. How do you prioritize it? I'll tell you next week. No, I won't. I'll tell you now. God is first. And what is second? Thank you, Valerie. I knew Valerie was going to say it. Anything he tells you is second. It's like my daughter and my son. Occasionally, I see my phone ringing. While I'm preaching, I see my phone ringing, and it's my daughter. They're 2 hours difference. Totally thinking it's 8 o'clock their time, 10 o'clock our time, and she's calling me. So my priority is, I'm busy here ministering the word. This is priority now. It's not my time to say, okay, in my order now, it's God first, and then not church now. I need to talk to my daughter. No. Get the priorities right. And so it's important. So let's go to Exodus. I kind of spoke at Exodus last week about thoughts about priorities. We have Moses, who's been asked to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They've been in captivity. They've been slaves there for a while. And we pick up the story after all the plagues have gone through, after the Red Sea has parted and Pharaoh and the whole army is drowned. They're into the wilderness. The manna is flowing. The water is flowing out of a rock. This is where we pick up the story. And in Exodus 18, verse 13, it says, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. And so when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, saw all that he did for the people, he said, what is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit, and all the people stand around from morning until evening? And Moses said to the father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God, and when they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and the other, and I make known the statutes of God and the laws. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you, you will surely wear yourselves out. I mean, it was plain as day when Jethro pitched up here. Jethro wanted to assist and help and see the problem. Here was Pastor Moses, from sun up to sundown, sorting out the church the old way, the way church used to be done, the old way church. And that was, pastors were expected to come, not only start preaching, but they had to open the church, switch on the organ, get it all ready for the organ player. They'd have to preach, then they'd have to teach, then they'd have to go and do the counseling, then they'd have to do the funerals, they'd have to do the weddings, everything the pastor had to do. It sounded like Moses was the leader of the pack here. And here we saw it translated into not so long ago, all the pastors doing all that. They had the one-man band, had to do it. They forgot to read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. It talks about Jesus ascending and giving gifts to the body. He gifted men who are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And it says here, the responsibility of these fivefold ministry is to equip God's people to do the work and build up the church. It's not the pastor to do everything. Not the way it was designed and through it. And so we need to recognize people, raise people, and release people, and equip them to do the work of the ministry. And so here we need to get the priorities sorted and organized. Now, Moses, you understand that he's pastoring one of the largest churches, I think, ever. There's between 1.5 and 3 million, depending how quick they made babies in the 400 years that they were in Egypt. There were a lot of these guys, and I just think of Coastal and all that happens here. I wouldn't want to be in Pastor Moses' shoes, not for all the money in China. So Jethro says the way is going to wear Moses and the people out. You want to have training and standing in lines, go to Africa. You will stand in long lines if you want a passport, like 2 days to get your passport. And if you want to go through the border post, you'll be standing forever in the border post to get through the border. So I've got training from Africa on how to stand in lines. And so if you want to see Pastor Moses, get in line. You'll see him in 6 months, okay? That's kind of what happens. So Jethro tells Moses to prioritize, have first things first. What's important? So we pick it up in verse 19. He gives the first advice. Listen now to my voice. Now listen, Linda, listen. Okay? Listen. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. What is he saying here? Jethro says, your priority number one is to stand before God. You need to pray. That's basically what he's saying. You need to get before God and you need to pray. He was told to pray. Businessman, business person, teacher, nurse, contractor, mom, dad, friend. I want to tell you, get before God. Stand before God with your daily responsibilities, your daily problems, and your daily needs. You need to. Jesus, before dawn, was up speaking to his dad, saying, Dad, listen, I've got to now walk with these disciples. They're crazy fishermen, tax collectors, all these kind of guys. I need help. I need to pray this day in. And you want me to make apostles out of them. I need all the help I can get. And so he would get in there. For me, I stand between 35 and 45 minutes. Hopefully it's 45 minutes, maybe a little longer today. I'll stand before you. But my priority and the importance of what I need to do is I need to stand before God and spend more of my time there so that when I get here or I get before people in council, that I can deliver what or guide or direct, because I need to pray for coastal families. I can look at every one of you and and those that I know this your situation, I know your needs, and I just don't, I'll just bob it off. No, I'm a pastor. No matter which way you cut me, I bleed pastor. And so I can't just leave it. And so I need to pray for ministries. I need to pray for leaders. I need to pray for the connect groups. I need to pray for the future of Coastal. Those are the things that needs to be about priority. And where you are, you need to see what's a priority for you, and you need to bring it before the Father. Here we are, before we even ask God for any advice or any help or work on the deal or the situation in your family. No, you just roll up your sleeves and you dive in, like Moses. And now you, from sunrise to sunset, you're tied up. And God's saying, can you just come and prioritize your time with me? And that's what he's wanting you. Bring bring God first into the issues, into the needs, and into the problems. Then Jethro goes on and in verse 20, he says, you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Jethro now prioritizes. He says, the next thing you need to do is teach them. You need to equip them. You need to disciple them, educate them, pass on, mentor the statutes and the laws. It's important that, you know, we just don't say, okay, I can hand you fish all day long, but I need to teach you how to fish. I need you to be able to stand on your own. Right in the beginning, yes, we may need to help, but then you need to stand on your own two feet. It reminds me of my mom. There are 9 of us. She says, you understand, I just couldn't spend my time just feeding you guys when you needed food. She says, my first thing I needed to teach you is how to hold a spoon. The next thing I needed to teach you is how to dig it into the food and bring it to your mouth. When you got that down to a science, I put you in a high chair, put a lot of newspaper around you, and whatever made it to your mouth, made it to your mouth, and the rest went onto the floor all over you, that's fine. You may only get 2 spoons in your first feed. But the next time you'll get hungry, you'll get 3 spoons into it. He says, I never fed you after that. She taught them how to hold a spoon. And some Christians at 30 who still feeding them. Oh. Hallelujah. Jesus showed his disciples. Then he worked with his disciples. And he says, okay, disciples, get on after it. And just Jethro laid down some important guidelines that we may have dismissed in that portion. 2 tracks to guide the teaching. It's like a show and tell. He says, show them. So you need it. It's like a show and tell. He says, the way you must walk and the work you must do. The way you walk involves one's character. And the work you need to do involves in one's ministry. This is what you need to do. But this, you need to have the character. One must ensure that the character will keep you where your ministry will take you. You've watched men and women fall, character couldn't hold them where they were going. So the process of equipping is allowing their character to carry it and to be able to take it. So one must prioritize and be intentional in doing this, in transferring it. And the sooner the better. It must be intentional. I'll tell you a story about, we went on a vacation once and we thought we'd take this opportunity for this vacation to train Nathan and Daniel. Now listen, they're 3 days of the year apart, okay? They're very close. And so they got through, they're 18, and that's when they get their license in Africa. Got their license, and so we got our B&B up the garden route, a beautiful place. And so we said, listen, this vacation, you guys are going to carry the responsibilities. You're going to load a car, you're going to drive us there, you're going to do everything. Oh, yes, Dad, that's fantastic. Great, Dad, fantastic. So fine, they planned it. I said, guys, we leave Friday afternoon. We've got the place, but we've got to get there by midnight to get the keys and all that stuff. And they said, can we pull into our cousin's place? I said, yeah, sure. You guys are planning it. Put the fuel in, everything else, and off they went. And Val and I made a bed in the back of the van. And they had the tow trailer, and they loaded everything, and we were very excited about this whole thing. Started hanging around the cousin a little too long, started getting a little late, and then they had to drive in the dark, and then they had to find fuel, and then they had to find where this key was. Next morning, I said, hey guys, where's the cereal? They had to go find the store, buy the food, bring the food back. We all got involved in cooking and everything else. And you said, listen, now I want to fish. You do it. No, I said, this is your vacation. You're leading this whole thing. By the time they got back home, they said, Dad, that was no vacation. I mean, that was hard work. You know, that was a great teaching time. Because I see Daniel now taking teams of guys onto Lake Powell and stuff, and there's 26 or 27 of them, and he's organized the boat and the food and the catering and everything else. And I thought, well, the baby steps, I think I was involved in baby steps in teaching and that. And so it takes time. It takes making it a priority. Did it go smoothly? No. No, it didn't, but they had a great learning time. And so, listen, time is very important when you're doing priority. Priority time is like money in one way, and it's not like money in other ways. Time, you need to budget it, because otherwise it's gone. You need to budget your money, your time. Okay, but another way, you can make more money, but you can't make more time. So it's so important that we get to understand that time is so important, and we need to assign it and prioritize it and budget it. So, because if not, something will come in and take of that time. And are you going to take of that time? Is it going to take from your prayer time? Is it going to take from your family time? Is it going to take from your work time? What time is it going to take from? I know it will never take app time, TV game time. I know that it won't take it. It'll take some other time, but it won't take that time. I know how addictive all that stuff is in one's life. But we can just look at your calendar and you can see your priorities. You can look at your budget and you can see your priorities. And so it's important that we have our priorities laid out. And so here, the third thing, I just want to point out what Jethro pointed out in verse 21. It says, yeah, moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. We've always seen them emphasize how you delegate and give it to different men that have different men and women that have different capacities to carry different things. We had a memorial time for Evelyn yesterday, and she was a lieutenant commander in the Navy, and she carried this incredible capacity to lead. And boy, she was a stern lass in her day. And so we need to see that as we go along, that we need to raise up leaders, influencers, and with character, integrity, and they will take responsibility. And sometimes we don't have the ability, but God just says, can I have your availability, and I will equip you, because he equips the called. Moses was one of those. He always gave 100 excuses why he could not lead the children of Israel out there. He was the man I was stuttering, so he gives him Aaron to go along and be his spokesman. But you always have this thing that we need to raise and release leaders. And Val's very good at that. She would push musicians that thought they could never sing to start singing or play an instrument. And she just really was able to put people into their gifting, recognizing, releasing the gifting, the ability, the capacity. And it's so important. And we always think generational, because we need to hand it on to the next generation, and we need to pass the baton on. And it's so important that we need to do that. And for me, I want to see the kingdom of God carried on by the next generation. For business people, it's leaving a legacy, leaving something that would continually bless people and give employment, or you know, give people a future in the business world. In family, Abraham was commended because his faith went down and became to the third and fourth generation and became a nation. His faith became a nation. And as a family, we want our faith to be handed down to our children, our grandchildren, so we can see it affect the nation. That's the kind of the view we need to. And so we have this opportunity to raise leaders. It takes leaders to raise and release leaders. And it's important that we understand that. Well, Fred and Denise, when we just kind of recognized that, man, the gifting is something we really need. It was something the elders discussed amongst ourselves. And as leaders, we appointed and we placed Fred and Denise into a place where they could come and lead our music and media as worship pastors. And it's done that. We're not a congregational-led church, because we don't have the congregation now voting, because it becomes a popularity contest. And so you don't get those that you employ to elect leaders. No, no. You as leaders who carry the responsibility select leaders. And so it's important that we understand that. So Jethro really was just helping Moses, saying, hey, listen, you need first to get with God and get God's agenda on this thing, because it's his people. You need to kind of get his agenda, and then you need to really teach them and show them and model it and display it so that they can pick it up and run with it. And then obviously you need to really select leaders to help you carry this, because this, 3.5 million or 3 million or 1.5 million is just a handful. So you say, well, that's great, that's Old Testament. Can I give you something on the New Testament before I close here? In Acts 6, 1 and 4, the church is growing like crazy. It's going crazy. Like it's going to start happening in America. The church is going to start going crazy. It's going to just grow. And I'm just like, so excited about it. Believers rapidly multiplied, and there were rumblings of discontent. That's the other thing that comes with growing a church. There's all sorts of other issues that comes with it. Hallelujah. It was this, you catch the fish. I said, catching the fish is one thing. Cleaning the fish. As a pastor, cleaning the fish. And when you get the people in and they come with all the issues and all their problems and everything else, and they're saying, Jesus, hurry up, can you sort these people out? Because, man, it's getting a little crazy here. And the Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. And some of the so the 12 called a meeting of all the believers, and they said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God." They opt out. Jeez, just get out of this. Not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them the responsibilities, and we apostles will spend our time in prayer and teaching. I commend Coastal. I have an incredible team that carries all sorts of things. And I can phone and ask them, "Hey guys, I can't get to a TV down in the kids' room," and I put it into the kids' storeroom. And this morning, "Tom, I don't know, man. I don't want to leave that TV in the kids' room. Please, can you get it out there?" And Tom's there. And so I just got an incredible team that releases God and I to be able to pray and prepare and stuff. And so, we need to understand that we need to have this position in God to have priorities, and we're called to lead. And one may say, "Well, I don't lead, I don't have a position of teaching, or I'm not an appointed leader. How do I prioritize my world as a believer?" Well, I think prayer still works as number one. I think prayer would be good. It's never wrong to pray. However, the Great Commission has your name all over it. So there's no running away from the Great Commission. I kind of heard it laced into today's worship set. And I just want to remind us. So Jesus came and told his disciples, and I believe that every one of us that are lovers of Jesus become his disciples. So he's actually speaking to us. He says, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples. And you say, "Well, that's for the leadership of the church." No, you're taking me back to the old church. We are the church. We are the ones to disciple the others. So don't lay it all on me. Sheep produce sheep. And when I get off this pulpit, I'm a sheepie and I need to go and work on producing sheepies. You guys need to go and produce sheepies. And so, come on. Don't have to have a birds and bees discussion here. We need to sort it out. "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given them. And be sure of this, which is encouraging of a good God. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, church, it requires us to pray. Man, we have this family member. We have this neighbor. We have this work colleague. We have this person that we visit and see. Just write it on a piece of paper. Just write 3 names down. Say, "God, my target is find a way. Find a way I can influence these. Find a way." You've heard it said, preach the gospel and where necessary use words. So you need to be there and influencing them and affecting them. And they can turn around and say, "I want what he has. I want what she has." And then you're preaching, then you're teaching, then you're influencing. And guess what? When suddenly you have a disciple on your hands, and then the disciple becomes a disciple of others. And that's how we get going. And so it's important that we do that. So we need to prioritize it in our calendar, in our prayer time. We need to prioritize it. Prioritize brings intentional focus. Priorities bring intentional focus. So church, we need to do that. So in 2022, we've got to have our priorities. Otherwise, we're just not going to be able to display God's goodness. We're just going to spin our wheels and go nowhere in a hurry. So first things need to be first. We need to prioritize and plan and pray this in. So now we kind of give January to the church to kind of get your ducks in a row, realize it's 2022, realize that we actually got a purpose to be here on planet Earth, and we get ourselves going. So I'm giving January for all of us to kind of get with God and say, "God, what do I need to focus on? How do I need to strategize? How do I need to prioritize? But I want to make sure that when I get to December 2022, man, we have kept the kingdom of God and moved it forward." That's what we want to do. So I'm giving you all January to kind of get your ducks in a row. But we're off to the races the 1st of February. Then we're going to be, we got to put the pedal to the metal. And we're going to find ways. We've got an opportunity now. We've adopted the Old Kings Elementary. We're going to find ways of just blessing them, loving them, helping them, help those teachers get the best results through our students. Man, you can stand in the grandstand and in the bleachers and complain about what's the educational system. No, shut up and get in the field and get on with the game and help the people. Come on, that's what we've got to do as a church. Amen. So, hallelujah. That's a good time to pray. Musicians, you can join me up here. Hallelujah. It's exciting. I'm telling you what, eh? We've had enough rest now. Time to go to the races. Hallelujah. Amen, Mike Bear. Doorkeeper at the back there. Hallelujah. So I want to pray for us. I want to pray fire under us. Because a good God is waiting for us to display Him. Woo. Father, thank you. Today we come. And we say thank you that you've given us life and life more abundantly. Father, today we want to make sure that our steps are ordered by you and that you direct us in all our ways. That we would bring our calendar to you and those things that are on our hearts to you, because you place them on our hearts, and we want to bring them to you and say, God, how do we manage this? How do we prioritize this? How do we walk this out so we can see the efficiency of the kingdom of God come to the surrounds of where I walk and where I live and what I do? Each one of you, ask the Holy Spirit. I don't want to dictate from the pulpit what you need to do, but you each need to ask Holy Spirit, because He is your God. He is your Lord. He has prompted me to ask you to prioritize your life so the kingdom of God may come. We're stepping into a new order, a new era. It's a new day. And I tell you, there's new things that God's bringing down the pipeline. Stuff we've never seen before are going to come our way. And so we need to spend time before the Father and say, Father, what is going to happen today? And be mindful of it. Father, I ask that your people, these wonderful loved ones that you've caused us to walk together in a relationship with, would come to you and make the request on what's priority today, my God. But Father, some in the sound of my voice have never known you, have never had that relationship with you, have never had the opportunity to walk with you. And if that's you in the sound of my voice, I want to ask you, do you want to walk with God? Because I know He wants to walk with you. And if you say yes, then just pray with us. As a church, we'll pray out loud. And you invite Him into your life. Invite Him to come and hold your hand and walk with you. And be the shepherd that will lead you beside still water and into pastures green. He will be your beginning and your end. He wants to love you and give you full purpose. If that's you, just pray out loud. Church, you know what to do. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. That you died on the cross for me. And that you paid for my sins. And that you give me access to the whole office of the kingdom of God. I receive you today as Lord. And I thank you for saving me that day at Calvary. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.